Welcome back, Bucketheads, to Beards and Buckets podcast, the only podcast for degenerates like us who like to drink beer, watch college basketball, and all that stuff. So, Dal, how's it going on the first half of this feast week?
Good. Had a couple feasts over the weekend with my Friendsgivings. The Brussels sprouts that I made were a huge hit. Now I've got a couple days of work and then just watching some basketball over the holiday.
Nice.
How about you?
It was pretty good. We had a fun night Friday night and then ended up going, doing a lot of housework on Saturday, but Sunday, so last night we had our Friendsgiving. I smoked some wings and then threw them in the air fryer to get them a little crispy. Had a barbecue style and a buffalo style. It was pretty good. And then we weren't planning on it, but it played some drinking games that were really fun. We played one knockout, so basically just like basketball knockout, but with the cup. And so if you miss your initial shot, then you have to drink what's in the cup, and then you could bounce it in like and hold the cup like as your layup. Pretty
gotcha.
Fun, but exhausting. Don't drink. Yeah. Don't do beer with it because you're just like running and like it's bad. It's so bad. That was fun. So we ended up playing like at one point without even drinking anything, just like having to do the layup. It was pretty fun. Played another one called the Castle. So you have two cups on top of each other, like one cup with water on top of another one. You have cups flipped down empty around it, and then you have your moat, which is things that are drinks around it, with drinks in it around it. And then you're trying to get it into the top one with the water. If your ball misses and it lands in one of those drinks, you have to drink it, refill it, and then you're trying the last person to do it.
I think I saw something on TikTok about that.
That's where a lot of these came from. It's pretty fun. So highly recommend if you're looking for some different drinking games for sure. But let's get into it. Home Field Apparel, they are a sponsor of the network and the show for Variety Sports. So use promo code Variety Sports at checkout for 15% off your first order. I believe there's a Black Friday deal going on where you get 20% off your order. So go check that out. That's probably on their main like website page pulling up there. Probably just need to put your email in to get an email from them. Definitely check that out. Not wearing anything Home Field right now, but you should do that. They have some great stuff there. And if they ever come out with Indiana, Purdue, Fort Wayne stuff, I might get one because they're just incredible.
Seriously, I'm gonna have to like send you to Fort Wayne rehab. It's like all our everything that we talk about is Purdue, Fort Wayne.
Yep. Yep, the Mastodons, baby. But let's get into it. So we have a recap from the weekend ready for you guys, and we're going to do some Shark Tank upsets. Of course, it is my turn for the beer review, and I have one that is not going to disappoint. We'll get into our Betalytics.com pickup games of the week, and then we do have a trivia question and last call. So let's recap the weekend, Friday through Sunday. Dal, do the honors, buddy.
Yeah, I'll start. I'll beat my chest a little bit. My Shark Tank upset hit. Weber State took down Yale. Just wanted to kind of talk a little bit more about them. Dylan Jones is their best player. He's a 6'6 power forward, but also is listed as a point guard in KenPom. That's how often he like handles the ball and is assisting. He was the number one rebounder in the country last year, defensive rebounder, which at 6'6 is very impressive, obviously. He didn't block any shots because they clearly tell him, like, do not, no matter what you do, do not get in foul trouble.
Yeah.
Because he does not even, like, I guess he kind of contests, but, like, not really. He is definitely foul-averse on that end. But it's super fun. Could be kind of a sneaky NBA guy that could make a roster just because of his feel. But wanted to start out shouting out Weber State.
Yeah, definitely. My first game from the weekend that was pretty fun was actually one that I didn't think was going to be fun at all. It was Texas and U of L.
I literally joked, like, oh, should I pick Louisville over Texas as my upset pick? And we were like, nah.
Like, we thought it was going to be – I mean, they were, like, 18.5-point favorites, I believe Texas was. Incredible game. You had five players for Louisville going into double digits. Sky Clark went 4 for 6 from three. He was at 20 points. He had five rebounds and 4 assists. So, like, solid game for Sky Clark. Trey White, 20 points. But not enough for Texas when you had Caden Shedrick go for 27 points, 11 from 14 from the field with only 1 3-point attempt. And they had 5 for 9 from the free throw line. It was just an incredible game there. Max Asemus with the game winner. That was a tough, tough shot, man. Like, that was an incredible shot. So, all around good game. There's no way that Texas should have been this close with this Louisville team, but I think Louisville just got tired of the talk and they wanted to prove something. They proved something. They were really close, but I still don't think this is a very good Louisville team.
Would you say Max saved Texas's Asemus?
Yes. Yes, he did. Yeah, so that was a fun one, though.
Going from one UT to the other, the next one I want to shout out was Tennessee. We were definitely kind of lower on Tennessee. We're kind of confused on where they would get their offense from. Defense was obviously going to always be really good, but we just were kind of skeptical. They played really well. Don Knecht, I don't know exactly how you say his name, has been really good for them. He came in not playing a ton of defense and has definitely bought in on that side, but brought some offense. If you would have, I mean, like, they're still getting some from Vescovi, but he's like in the like 12 to 15% range in terms of possessions used, which I would have been very shocked if you told me that that was where he was going to end up through the first four games. Jordan Ganey from USC Upstate has also been really good. So we were both a little low on Tennessee, but they have been much better than I anticipated. So I wanted to shout them out.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I'm still not super high on them, especially this week. I went on the Hoop Southbound podcast to talk some of the multi-team events this week and invitationals and things like that. And I think I had Tennessee finishing third, maybe fourth in the Maui Invitational there. So we'll see. But yeah, I'm not super high on them yet. They got to prove it to me a little bit more, but they are pretty good so far.
They're currently the 23rd ranked offense in KenPom, though, which I would have thought they were we'd be closer to 75th than 25th.
Yeah, for sure. Second thing I want to highlight, Shaheen Holloway, still a dog. Seton Hall played Wagner, and I guess it was like there at the end. I didn't even watch the game, but I'm looking at, like, I think what happened was, like, Wagner was still kind of pressing when the game was out of reach, and they were just, like, dribbling out the shot clock or dribbling out the clock or whatever. And so Shaheen went to shake the dude's hand, was, like, talking to him, and, like, they're both holding hands, and then something was said, and then Shaheen just, like, pushes him away or, like, pulls his hand away. It was, like, a weird, like, pull and, like a lineman move. Like, you're, like, swimming past to get – yeah, it was weird. But still a dog. Love Shaheen Holloway. Love what he's doing at Seton Hall. So, yeah, shout out him.
What was my next one? I got – oh, another SEC team for me, Mississippi State. Josh Hubbard is filling in for Tohu Smith being out and has been incredible. He's shooting – shoot, I had this pulled up. He's shooting something like crazy from three, and Mississippi State is now up to 17th on KenPom. With wins over Washington State and Northwestern to go along with their win against Arizona State earlier in the year. But they have the third best defense according to KenPom. And Josh Hubbard, yeah, shooting 44% from three. He's 15 for 34. So that's not small volume for four games or five games. So super fun to watch him play with a bunch of seniors and kind of be their leader from a usage perspective.
Yeah. My last one here, Florida Atlantic losing to Bryant, which, like, already a bad loss, but Bryant is basically, like, they just lost their coach to start the season, like, interim on the exhibition thing with the whole sex workers, whatever happened.
Yeah, it was not good.
Yeah. Something happened. They don't have a coach. Basically, Phil Martelli Jr., not senior. So not the Michigan interim coach, but the Bryant interim coach. What a way to start his career with a big win over a top 25 team that was in the Final Four last year. So shout out him. But FAU, I think, is still going to be fine, but this is one of those losses where the media hyped you up so much when you still were like a decent team and you were still susceptible to losing these kind of games. And so, yeah, that sucks for them.
Yeah, my last one, I know we talked about San Diego State and St. Mary's last week, but didn't really talk about the fact that they were going to play Washington. Maybe that was a game that like popped up later, but scored 100 points on Washington in overtime. Crazy game. But J.D. Onledee went for 34-17, which is just an absurd stat line, as I was going through last week.
Yeah.
So wanted to give him a shout out because San Diego State is one of the better mid-major teams in the country. And yeah, putting up 34-17, even in an overtime game, is wild.
Yeah, that was incredible. I also didn't think that, like, I wasn't super high on this Washington team, like, after, like, once the season started. But they put up a heck of a fight, so you got to give props to them in this game for sure. All right, let's move on then. It's time for Shark Tank upsets. I'll let you do the honors.
As the reigning Shark Tank champion, I almost said Shark Week champion. I don't think that I get that title yet. I've got a matchup here that is kind of prompted as it being my Shark Tank upset. Because this team, the team that I have losing, just beat USC earlier in the week, and that's the UC Irvine Anteaters. They play Toledo in Henderson, Nevada. This is on Wednesday, and it'll be at 11:45. So we will wake up Thursday morning and see if this actually won, because there's no way that I'm staying up to watch this. But Raheem Moss is the best player for Toledo. He gets fouled a ton, and the Anteaters, UC Irvine, they love to foul. They opponents are shooting 43%. They have a 43.1% like free throw attempt per field goal attempt rate, which is 46th in the country. So they get in foul trouble a lot. They also weirdly don't play anyone when they get two fouls, so you have to get into their bench. They play a lot of bench players, but they are susceptible to fouling people as trying to get to the basket. Toledo also forces a ton of turnovers. They're top 20 in steal percentage, and they don't foul. So UC Irvine won't be getting the same kind of attempts at the free throw line. Plus, they are shooting threes at a 44% clip this year. So I like Toledo to beat UC Irvine in Nevada.
Yeah, I mean, Toledo's offense, 40th in the nation. So this is definitely a strength-on-strength matchup. I like it. Yeah, UC Irvine needs to work on their free throw attempt, their defensive free throw attempts and free throw goal field goals made. I hate that stat on KenPom. I think it's the dumbest stat ever.
Like, why?
Defensive free throw percentage?
That one's dumb.
It's just stupid. I mean, it really it means that you're fouling the wrong people, I guess.
That's the only thing that I like to use it for is like, are you fouling guards or are you fouling big men?
Yeah. Okay. So, height advantage, UC Irvine.
Yep.
But that's
really, they have two big guys. One guy's 7'1", one guy's 6'11", and then everyone else that plays any like meaningful minutes are 6'6" and below.
Okay. Here we go. Two foul participation, way in Toledo's favor.
Yep.
All right. Yep. I'm gonna buy a keg on it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Banana bread at work, dude.
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah. I'll buy a keg on it. I like it because UC Irvine is still like not great, so they could easily lose one of these games. Yeah, I like it. And also, weirdly enough, on like the thrill score, this is the fifth highest thrill score for that game for that day. Which I mean, I think some of the matchups for Wednesday aren't set yet. So But because of the classics and multi-team events. But yeah, no, this is the fifth highest score behind there. Two games behind it. I almost picked Duquesne and Nebraska for my Shark Tank upset, but I decided to go with the Mastodons here over San Francisco. The first real test for the third longest win streak in the nation. These Mastodons have Indiana, Purdue, Fort Wayne, is ninth in turnover percentage on defense. So they are turning the ball over a lot, like turning teams over a lot, I should say. San Francisco on offense, 333rd. This is incredible. This is incredible stuff for a Shark Tank upset because San Francisco also doesn't get to the line a lot. Like, they're one of the worst teams in the nation at getting to the line. So if you're trying to take a win at home against a hot team, you need to get to the line a lot. They're probably not going to do that. Fort Wayne also shooting 38.8% from three. They take care of the ball with a solid turn. Like, they don't turn the ball over a lot at all. Rasheed Bello is a 33.3% assist rate, which is top 100 in the nation right now. And Quentin Morton Robertson is shooting 53% from three. Give me the Mastodons over the whatever San Francisco. I can't never remember.
The Dons.
Yeah, the Dons. Mastodons over the Dons, baby.
I do like the turnover percentage. They should force a lot of turnovers for sure. USF's such a weird program, especially given who they had before, because the San Francisco coach is like before this was the guy that's not Florida. What's Golden. His name? Yes.
Todd Golden.
And obviously a very like analytics based guy. So the fact that San Francisco's shooting just 34% from the 3-point line, or no, that's their defense. They're shooting 31% from the 3-point line.
Yeah, I mean, I will say San Francisco is like their defense is pretty solid. But they also haven't played anybody just like, you know, Indiana, Fort Wayne. But they did play Purdue, and Purdue got a win earlier this week. They also lost yesterday, but DePaul. I don't know why I said Purdue.
I was going to say. You got Purdue Fort Wayne on the mind.
I just saw Purdue on Ken Pom page here. That's why.
It's actually
DePaul.
It's actually funny. They have a common. Both of them have played DePaul this year, which I feel like is weird. Whenever you go, I'll buy a six pack for you on this. I do worry about the fact that DePaul is the best team that Purdue Fort Wayne has played, and for Syracuse or for San Francisco, that is the third best team. So they lost two close games to Boise State and Grand Canyon, which are both like top 75 teams. So I like the turnover percentage part. I think is where they win is if Purdue Fort Wayne can really turn them over. I think they have a shot, but it being at home and their defense is just really good. So I'll buy a six pack.
If they split either one of San Francisco and Pittsburgh, like there's no reason why they shouldn't just run the Horizon League and make the tournament this year. Because the rest of these teams stink out loud looking at their schedule. Maybe Milwaukee would give them a game and like Wright State.
I was going to say, I like Wright State a lot. They're 0-3, but that's losses to Colorado State, Toledo, and Indiana, which are all like really solid.
Yeah, yeah. But I really do think, yeah, they have two shots at Wright State. If they split with Wright State and then win their Horizon League or win the Horizon tournament, yeah, they should be fine.
Could definitely be a tournament team.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's move on then. I do have a beer for us to review. So like I said, with promise, Wicked Weed Brewing out in Asheville, North Carolina. I got the Milk and Cookies Imperial Stout with golden raisins, cinnamon, and vanilla. So the can design's really dope. For that reason, I gave it a 4 on the can design category there. But it's an Imperial Stout, 8.5% with 50 IBUs. Untapped has it at 3.98, so on the higher side of our Untapped rankings here. Crushability, not crushable at all. I've just put 0.5 because that's...
Do not crush these beers.
Yeah, don't do that. You don't do that. But a 4 on the can design. The aroma, I put a 4. The flavor is a 5. Appearance is a 4. Nice dark appearance here. Just like a stout, obviously. It came out to 3.5, but it's a pretty good beer. I had one at the around the fire last night at Friendsgiving. Again, not crushable. Don't play drinking games with this, but pretty good. So Sudsy will give it a 3.5 out of 5. Definitely check that out. All right. Betalytics.com Pick'em's Game of the Week. Betalytics.com. Use code VSN for 25% off any package on Betalytics.com. Last week, Dow went 6-for-8. I went 5-for-8. We're here to run it back here. So I think we're tied on the season, right?
We are.
Yeah. And I didn't pull all of the Twitter ones, so we'll just have to not count that against you guys. But yeah, make sure you go vote, because I didn't post yesterday or Saturday.
That's why we didn't.
Yeah, it's all good. I was slacking. That's on me. But I'll make some graphics and get them up today. Okay, so Monday today at 5 p.m., which is a gross time for this game. I get it's in Honolulu, but still, come on, figure this out. Give them a primetime game. Anyways, Purdue is taking on Gonzaga. Purdue is favored by 3. According to KenPom, again, this is in Honolulu, not Maui, but it was supposed to be in Maui. But shout out to the people of Maui. Hearts, thoughts, and prayers are with you. Who do you got in this one?
I'm gonna go Gonzaga. It's tough. I don't know. I just don't trust Purdue to like do good stuff against good teams.
I wanted to go Gonzaga, and again, listen to the Hoops Southbound show that just dropped today, because I explain, like, I think Gonzaga is my sleeper team for this Invitational if they get past Purdue, but I don't know. Like, I think probably I don't want to go chalk here, but I do think Purdue is going to win this game. I did want to pick Gonzaga, but I don't know.
I don't know if I can go Gonzaga. Opponents are shooting 100% from the free throw line against them. So 362nd in free throw percentage defense. You gotta work on that.
Yeah. All right. So that's there we go. And the Fort Myers, what tournament is the Fort Myers one? Do we know?
Hold on, let me see.
I don't remember what it's called. But anyways, we got Wisconsin taking on Virginia. Virginia's favored by 3. This is at 6 p.m. in Fort Myers, Florida.
Just call it Fort Myers tip-off.
Yeah, Fort Myers tip-off. All right, I'm going to go Cavs here. I think they're the much better team, and Wisconsin stinks out loud.
I agree. I put this one on here strictly because it's historically two of the worst offenses in the country. But no, I like Virginia as well. They have a couple guys that I think will probably end up getting drafted first, could get drafted first round on their team. So, yeah, let's go then.
All right. Then we have UConn taking on Texas in New York at 7 p.m. tonight. This is Monday. This should be a no-brainer after yesterday's debacle. I was gonna say. give me the Huskies here. I usually try and switch, but you you went ahead and put yours in there. We both have UConn winning this one.
You can't almost lose to Louisville and then expect to beat UConn. So
yeah,
Texas is on my shit list until last one. We got the last Maui/Honolulu game is UCLA versus Marquette. Marquette's favored by 4 on KenPom. It's at 11:30. So again, good luck staying up if you are on the East Coast. Who you got here?
I'm gonna go Marquette on this one. They're just a really dang good team.
I agree. UCLA is still kind of figuring stuff out. They also, like, speaking of like the 3-point shooting streaks, they just had theirs broken actually earlier this year in one of their games. They went 0-for-8. Oof. And I was talking to a buddy of mine, and I was like, wait, they went 0-for-8, as in, like, and he was like, yeah, they, you know, they didn't hit any of them. I was like, no, I'm worried about the fact that they only took 8 threes.
Yeah.
That's the part that scares me more than anything.
What's that Deion Waiters quote? Like, I'd rather go 0-for-30 than 0-for-8 or whatever. Because exactly. At 0-for-8, you stop shooting.
They are literally only less than 10% of their points come from the 3-point line. They are last in 3-point distribution. So definitely will be like to see how well Marquette can keep them, like, play defense in the post, which Oso Igodoro is one of my favorite players in this class from a draft perspective. I think he's really good, and it'll be a him versus a Dembona for who wins this game, and I think Igodoro is better. So, not even to mention Tyler Kolek, who's the best player in this game.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, not officially on our list for Pick'em Games of the Week, but FSU and UNLV might be a fun game to look out for tonight.
Definitely.
At 5:30 in Daytona Beach there, so check that one out. All right, then we have Tuesday. We have Toledo taking on New Mexico. Toledo getting a lot of love on the Beers Buckets pod today. New Mexico favored by 5. This is in Henderson, Nevada at 11:15 p.m., so we will not be watching this one. Check it up on Wednesday morning. Who do you got in this one?
This game was put on here because most of Tuesday's matchups have not been decided yet. And so the list of them before all of these games play today is a little weak. So had to put one on there.
This is James Madison, Southern Illinois erasure here. Come on, that's also being played. But
yeah, you're right.
No,
all right. Duke, sorry, to the real Dukes of college basketball.
Dukes 5000.
I'm gonna go New Mexico here just to give Toledo a loss to go into my game later in the week, so that they actually have even more motivation to get the upset.
I want to be contrarian because we've gone the same one the past 3 picks, but I really, I'm going to go to New Mexico here.
That's fine.
This next game, though, is going to be really fun. Go for it.
It should be fun, especially now that Michigan kind of came back and looked really good against St. John's. But in Nassau at 5 o'clock, we got Michigan taking on Memphis. Memphis is... It says favored by 1, but I think they literally had a 51% chance of winning it in KenPom. So this is essentially a pick 'em. Who you got here?
You said they look good against St. John's, but they lost to Long Beach State Friday. They beat St. John's Monday. They just come off a loss here. So I don't know. This is weird. I actually have Memphis in this one. Memphis is looking really good. Might be one of those things where you don't bring Penny back. question mark. Both of these teams are is Juwan Howard back for this game? Is it a 3 or 4 games? He wasn't suspended.
I think Jim Harbaugh is actually coming down to coach since he doesn't have anything to do this weekend. I think he's coming down and is coaching the basketball team now.
No, Memphis has looked dang good. I think I said on Hoop Southbound they could be a favorite to Nassau Invitational, whatever it's called. Forget which one it is called, but they're like, if you look at the field there, they definitely have a chance to win that all, win it outright there. And a potential Arkansas Memphis matchup would be so fun. We absolutely need it. I think the better team for Arkansas would be Michigan, but Arkansas Memphis would be electric because that's like a regional rivalry for them too, like especially. Northeast Arkansas, they really want to beat Memphis there.
I will change my tune if they come out and really blow out Michigan, but Memphis, their best win is Mizzou, who just lost to Jackson State, so not great. So I'm going to go Michigan here. Just to pick them again, we've also gotten pretty together for most of these, so I'll go Michigan if you're going to Memphis.
Yeah. All right. We have Arkansas taken on, and this is the second part of that 7:30 in the Nassau games there. So Arkansas taking on Stanford. Arkansas favors by 4 here. What do you think?
Yeah, I like Arkansas. I think they're just the more talented team. So I think I'm going to ride with them. Although I do like the Stanford team. I know we talked about them on the Pac-12 preview. I'm higher on them than I think I would have initially thought I would be, given they lost Harrison Ingram. But I'll go Arkansas here.
Yeah. Throw that UNC Greensboro loss out the window for Arkansas. That was more fluky than anything I've ever seen, like pretty much since the Evansville loss for Kentucky in 2019.
It's very similar.
Yeah, so...
Well, except UNC Greensboro is, like, a top 100 KenPom team.
But the way that they played, in the style that they played, I don't know. This is a good game for Andre Stojakovic. I think he's going to be, like... This is going to be the game that we'll be like, oh, wow, I forgot about this kid, even though he's in McDonald's All-American game. So this could be a good showing for him, but I do think Arkansas is going to win it. All right, last game of Wednesday that we could talk that today as we record. We got Florida taking on Pitt. Florida's favored by 1. This is in Brooklyn at 9:30 p.m. Who you got?
This is – as I was putting this on here, I dreaded picking this game. That's an interesting one. I'm gonna go Pitt here. Florida feasts on the offensive rebound, like their offensive rebounding game. That's where they really have kind of thrived this year. And Pitt does a very good job of defensive rebounding. The difference is on the flip flop. Pittsburgh is a great offensive rebounding team, and Florida does not defensive rebound very well.
Yeah.
Riley Kugel also has kind of struggled to get it going. I know I was super high on him at the beginning of the year, but he just like hasn't really shown the feel or the shooting ability that we kind of expected from him. So maybe he does get hot and that this is like kind of his coming out game, but if not, I'm going to go Pitt here, I think we were actually pretty low on Pitt to start the season,
but they
jumped out to a good start.
Yeah, they have. I'm actually going to go Florida here. Being in as a neutral court helps a lot, right? Yeah, it's in Brooklyn. Neutral court helps a lot. I think being back in New York, Walter Clayton's going to go off in this game. Not a whole lot to prove me, like statistically, why I think Florida's going to do it. But I do like the 2-foul participation for Florida, because if you're not going to shoot a lot of threes and you're not going to like take care of the ball, that means you're fouling a lot. But it means you're playing with 2 fouls a lot, so your best players are staying on the floor a lot. So I like that. So, give me the Gators here. Be contrarian.
All right. On Thursday, weirdly playing on Thanksgiving. Get some good basketball before we get the football games. Oklahoma and Iowa are playing. It's the first of 2 San Diego games we have for Thursday. Oklahoma's favored by 1, but I think this, again, was like one of those where it's essentially a pick 'em. I'm going to go Iowa here just because I think the best unit in this game is Iowa's offense.
Yeah, Iowa just took Creighton toe for toe and pound for pound, and yeah, they look pretty good. I'm going to go with Iowa as well.
Nice.
And then the last game that we can talk on Thursday is Seton Hall versus the Southern California Trojans. Pirates taking on Trojans would be a fun mascot matchup here. But they are – we should also maybe have put Michigan State versus Arizona on here, but neither here nor there.
I don't know. We talked about – I feel like we talked about them a lot. So that's a good call, though. That is a good game on Thursday.
Yeah. And I'll say we'll do one more on this one. I'll tell you after. But, we have Seton Hall taking on USC. Favored by 2, USC is. This is at 5:30 p.m. Who are you taking on this one?
All right. Is USC going to have everyone back?
By everyone, you mean?
Well, Boogie Ellis has missed a game for them already.
Yeah.
And who is that other guy?
This is probably close to game time decision.
Kobe Johnson. Kobe Johnson also has missed 2. I'm going to go Seton Hall just because I don't know if they're going to be back. And even if they are back, obviously that's like a tough thing. Would this USC team fully healthy is dangerous, but I'll go Seton Hall.
Yeah. One thing I like about Seton Hall is that they're 53 on offense and 54 on defense. So they're just really consistent. USC is 30 on defense and 45 on offense, but I think part of that is also playing into injuries. But yeah, I'm gonna go USC.
Seton Hall's first real test.
Yeah, I mean it's kind of both of their. I guess they play Kansas State. I'm gonna go USC. They're more experienced right now, having played Kansas State, kind of whooped up on them. So I know
it's not a home game for them, but obviously
pretty close.
They're much closer to San Diego than Seton Hall is.
Yeah, exactly. All right. And then I'm throwing this one in there because I love the throwback logos, and it's another thing that we could throw in there. Actually, Dal, we might have two. Well, no. We'll just do one more. One more here. Not Boise State, Florida Atlantic taking on Butler at 2:30 in Kissimmee, Florida. This is the Disney one, but it should be a good game because I think both these teams are kind of like, one's underrated, one's overrated. It's going to be pretty fun to watch, I think.
Yeah, am I picking first?
Yeah, go for it.
I'm gonna go FAU here. They bounce back from their loss, and obviously, again, not a home game, but very much closer to a home game.
I'm actually gonna go Butler here. They took a whooping by Michigan State, and I think it woke them up. But Posh Alexander, Telfort, and Brooks, all three dogs. Bulldogs, to be exact, and they'll be I just like this team. I like this Butler team. I like what Thad Matt is doing here. And I don't think that FAU is overrated. I think they're a solid team. I think the media overrated them, I should say. I don't think we fans in general did. But FAU defense, 32nd in the nation. They're a good defensive team, so we'll see. But this is more of a strength-on-strength matchup, which is offense and defense for FAU and Butler there. So should be fun. Other games to note that we aren't going to add to the pick'em because we'd be here for forever. Let me pull it up real quick. Sorry.
You already mentioned the Arizona game.
Yeah.
That's definitely one that I saw on there. Michigan State, Arizona.
NC State, Vandy. That should be a fun one.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a good SEC-ACC matchup there. And BYU and Arizona State could be a fun one.
Yeah, BYU's been really strong to start the year.
Some people thinking that Texas A&M and Penn State will be closer than it is. I don't think that's the case, but then Texas A&M could have a really good second-round matchup there. But I do think they're going to win that. Whatever the games is, the Disney games that they're playing there. But yeah, Texas A&M probably going to sharpie that one for sure. So, all right, let's move on. Trivia time. What you got for me?
With the Maui Invitational coming up, this is the best field by rankings that Maui Invitational has ever had. There's six Power Five or Power Six teams that are all ranked in it. But with that, which school has the best overall record in the Maui Invitational all time?
I'm going to go with UConn. I don't know if it's right, but let me hear my reasoning. They were the ones that beat Kentucky in 2010. 2010 or 2011, I think around that time. And that ended up being the Kemba Walker UConn team that won it all that year. I feel like they always just cook in the Maui Invitational. How close am I?
You are geographically pretty close. UConn has the third best winning percentage, or no, the third best. Wait, what? This is a weirdly sorted thing. They are 9-3 all time in the Maui Invitational, but there's a team that has a better percentage.
Then who is it?
With a geographically close, do you want to have another guess?
Geographically close. Who's close to UConn? Is it Syracuse?
It is Syracuse. They are 10-0, which I think a lot of it goes back to it used to be a four team thing. So it's a little bit. Flawed there.
Yeah, UNC way less is teams more, you know, like yeah I'm with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, UNC is 20-3 all time, which is kind of crazy, and Duke is 18-1 in the Maui Invitational. But 10-0 Syracuse takes the cake on that one.
Gotcha.
Also weirdly Dayton, 8-2. I guess they were there whenever they had Obi Toppin was one of the main years they were there. So yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to last call. What you got for us?
It's just before this, I was preparing by listening to Sam Bassini's new mock draft podcast that he did on Game Theory Podcast. And just made me kind of realize that it's something that we've talked a lot about. But this year in the NBA draft, just because there aren't any bona fide number one, like, locks to be, you know, multi-time all-stars like there have been the last couple drafts. I think it'll be really interesting to see who goes where and, like, what teams value, because it will be much more of a drafting for fit and for team culture and for just overall, like, team building, rather than being like, oh, we just had this guy that we can't pass on at all. So I feel like that it'll be one of those things where you see a ton of, like, chaos, because teams will have guys different valued differently. And I feel like that is a conversation we've kind of been having with the transfer portal, of just, like, how teams are built and what do you prioritize? What do you give up if you are prioritizing? Like, if you're prioritizing shooting, you have to work with the defensive deficiencies that might come with that. So I'm just very interested to see kind of what comes out of one. I think the lack of consensus will be good, because it will make people just talk about more people, because there will be more guys in contention for a first round pick. And I think it is a cool, I mean, it's just like an interesting conversation that will get kind of brought to the forefront even more with it being a quote unquote down year in college basketball for kind of NBA talent, because it'll force us to kind of dig in a little bit more, I guess. So yeah. I'm just excited for it.
Yeah. I like the, I like what we have going here. I like that the two best players in this class are not in college, strangely enough. Matas Bozelis and Ron Holland. Those are two good players. Well, we say they're the two best players, but we don't know what the end of the year will show us. You know what I mean? Like, we don't know what draft season comes about, because a lot of movement goes on. Players that we thought were going to be really good have been kind of so far. So, I like it a lot. My last call here, really don't have a whole lot that super hot takey. I mean, I could get hot takey if we wanted to, but I'm going to hold off a little bit until I get more sample size to prove this. But
I was gonna say, if you don't have one, I can ask a follow up question on that to be your last call. If you want to,
I mean, how about we do both? We have a little time variance. So the first one I'll say is, I love how open the top of college basketball seems to be this year. Like, even like the Kansases and Purdue's look beatable. I mean, we're talking about, like, we could have Gonzaga winning the Maui Invitational this year. On a down year for Gonzaga. Well, I said down, relatively down year for Gonzaga compared to the last 4 or 5 years. I think that how open the top is seems pretty fun and makes for a better product overall. In a year where, like, it almost felt like it's make or break year for college basketball. So I like that a lot.
Yeah. My question was just going to be like, what with this year, especially being kind of like a weirder year, I know we talk about sample sizes all the time, but what is your, if there is a player, like, all right, take Justin Edwards, for example. He has not been good in really any of Kentucky's games so far. What's your sample size that you're looking for? And does it maybe differ depending on, like, who the guy is? But, like, what's your sample size where you start, like, being like, all right, I'm, like, actually kind of worried, like, maybe we were just wrong on this guy. Where does that start to go from kind of like a thought to like a concrete take for you?
I think break down the season in the quarters. So ultimately your goal is 40-0. You're not going to get to 40 games possibly. So obviously, if you lose early in SEC tournament, whatever. So I'd say probably the first like 6 or 7 games, if he hasn't broken out by the first 6 or 7 games, then I don't hit the panic button, but there is concern. And then in that second stretch of 6 to 7 games, if there hasn't shown a clear sign of progression, then it's like, okay, panic button here. The thing with Edwards, and like you touched on it with him, so might as well bring it up. This is a little bit of a hot take. I think as much as I love Kentucky's offense and what they're doing, he is the kind of player that would have fit in Cal's older system, where he has the freedom to go and pull up from mid-range. But right now, I feel like it's either you're telling him, like, you have to hit at the rim or you have to hit from three. Like, he's the kind of player that you want in ISO situations pulling up from 15 feet, in my opinion.
You think?
I think so. I think that's, he needs to see the ball go in the rim, and right now he's not strong enough to get it at the rim, and he's not strong enough, and he's not consistent enough as from a shooter to hit it from outside. If he starts seeing the ball hit the bottom of the net from mid range, then the game opens up for him a little bit more. And also having a 7-footer that can actually take away some of the defensive help would help him as well. Same with DJ Wagner, but
we're sorely missing a big man that is a like above the rim presence.
Yeah.
I'm worried about his bag and his handle on offense. I think that's the single thing that is like limiting him most. I think that his strength he's not able to get to his like to use his strength to get to the basket because he can't create any separation to then be able to get pushed people. So yeah, no, I was just like kind of curious. The Sandy was talking about it too. Kind of going back and forth on guys that they were high on that they're like, how much have we backed off? So it was just kind of curious. I don't really have a specific answer. Was just curious.
Yeah. Interesting enough. All right. Well, let's get out of here. So this has been a fun show. Make sure you follow us on TikTok and Instagram at Beers and Buckets Pod. I promise we're going to get some more content out for you this week that we have a little bit more downtime. So we'll be working on that. Make sure you check out daily for the pick 'em games of the week. You can bet on or not bet on them, but pick them. And if you want to bet on them, go for it. But some of these games I'd stay away from for sure because they're so coin flippy. If you do it responsibly and take our method of just throwing a dollar on a game or here or there. Turn a dollar into 20 with a good parlay or whatever. So, this has been real. This has been fun. This has been real fun. Make sure you check out the Variety Sports Network on Twitter at @Variety_Sports_ for more shows like this one. Check out the Hoop Southbound podcast that I was a guest on yesterday. Very fun that posted today. So go check that out on YouTube and Spotify and all the great places. And then, check us out on YouTube. If you watch on YouTube, thank you. And make sure you share this video. This has been real. This has been fun. It's been real fun. You guys have a fantastic week. We'll catch you later this week after Turkey Day. This has been The Bottom Line. Connor said so. You guys have a fantastic week.
Peace.